Vouchsafe to those that have not read the story that I may prompt them, and of such as have, I humbly pray them to admit the excuse of time, of numbers, and due course of things, which cannot in their huge and proper life be here presented. Now we bear the king toward Calais. Grant him there. There seen, heave him away upon your winged thoughts athwart the sea. Behold the English beach, pales in the flood with men, wives, and boys, whose shouts and claps outvoice the deep-mouthed sea, which, like a mighty whiffler for the king, seems to prepare his way. So let him land, and solemnly see him set on to London. So swift a pace hath thought that even now you may imagine him upon Blackheath, where that his lords desire him to have borne his bruised helmet and his bended sword before him through the city. He forbids it, being free from vainness and self-glorious pride, giving full trophy, signal, and ostent quite from himself to God. But now behold, in the quick forge and working house of thought, how London doth pour out her citizens. The mayor and all his brethren, in best sort, like to the senators of the antique Rome, with the plebeians swarming at their heels, go forth and fetch their conquering Caesar in. How many would the peaceful city quit to welcome him? Much more, and much more cause did they this harry. Now in London place him. As yet the lamentation of the French invites the King of England stay at home. The Emperor's coming in behalf of France to order peace between them. And omit all the occurrences, whatever chanced, till Harry's back return again to France. There must we bring him. And myself have played the interim by remembering you, 'tis past. Then brook abridgment, and your ears advance. After your thoughts, straight back again to France.
Nay, that's right. But why wear you your leek today? St. Davy's Day is past.
There is occasions and causes why and wherefore in all things. I will tell you, ask my friend, Captain Gower. The rascally, scald, beggarly, lousy, praying knave pistol, which you and yourself and all the world know to be no better than a fellow, look you now, of no merits. He is come to me and brings me bread and salt yesterday, look you, and bid me eat my leek. It was in place where I could not breed no contention with him, but I will be so bold as to wear it in my cap till I see him once again, and then I will tell him a little piece of my desires.
Why, here he comes, swelling like a turkey cock.
'Tis no matter for his swellings nor his turkey cocks. God bless you, Ancien Pistol, you scurvy, lousy knave. God bless you!
Ha! Art thou Bedlam? Dost thou thirst, base Trojan, to have me fold a parker's fatal web? Hence, I am qualmish at the smell of leek.
I beseech you heartily, scurvy, lousy knave, at my desires and my requests and my petitions, to eat, look you, this leek. Because, look you do not love it, nor your affections and your appetites and your digestions does not agree with it. I would desire you to eat it.
Not for Cadwallader and all his goats.
There is one goat for you.
Ah!
Will you be so good, scald knave, as eat it?
Base Trojan, thou shalt die!
You say very true, scald knave, when God's will is. I will desire you to live in the meantime and eat your victuals. Come, there is sauce for it.
Ah!
You called me yesterday, Mountain Squire, but I will make you today a squire of low degree. I pray you fall to. If you can mock a leek, you can eat a leek.
Enough, Captain. You have astonished him.
I say I will make him eat some part of my leek, or I will peat his pate for days. Bite, I pray you. It is good for your green wound and your bloody coxcomb.
Ah! Must I eat?
Yes, certainly, and out of doubt and out of question, too, and ambiguities.
By this leek, I will most horribly revenge. Oh! I eat, and eat, I swear.
Eat, I pray you. Will you have some more sauce to your leek? There's not enough leek to swear by.
Quiet thy cudgel, thou dost see I eat.
Much good do you, scald knave, heartily. Nay, pray you, throw none away. The skin is good for your broken coxcomb. You take occasions to see Leeks hereafter. I pray you, mock at him. That is all.
Good.
Aye, Leeks is good. Hold you. There is a groat to heal your paint.
Me a groat?
Yes, verily, and in truth, you shall take it, or I have another leek in my pocket, which you shall eat.
I take thy groat in earnest of revenge.
If I owe you anything, I will pay you in cudgels. You shall be a woodmonger, and buy nothing of me but cudgels. God be with you, and keep you, and heal your paint.
All hell shall stir for this!
Go, go. You're a counterfeit, cowardly knave. Will you mock at an ancient tradition, begun upon an honorable respect and worn as a memorable trophy of predeceased valor, and dare not avouch in your deeds at any of your words? I have seen you gleeking and galling at this gentleman twice or thrice. You thought, because he could not speak English in the native garb, he could not, therefore, handle an English cudgel. You find it otherwise, and henceforth let a Welsh correction teach you a good English condition. Fare ye well.
Doth fortune play the housewife of me now? News have I that my Nell is dead in the spittle of malady of France. And there my rendezvous is quite cut off. Old do I wax, and from my weary limbs honor is cudgeled. Well, bawd I'll turn, and something lean to cut-purse of quick hand. To England will I steal, and there I'll steal. And patches will I get under these cudgel scars, and swear I got them in the Gallia Wars.
Peace to this meeting, wherefore we are met. Unto our brother France and to our sister, health and fair time of day, joy and good wishes to our most fair and princely cousin Catherine, and as a branch and member of this royalty, by whom this great assembly is contrived, we do salute you, Duke of Burgundy, and princes French and peers, health to you all.
Right joyous are we to behold your face, most worthy brother of England, fairly met. So are you, princes English, every one.
So happy be the issue, brother England, of this good day and of this gracious meeting, as we are now glad to behold your eyes which hitherto have borne in them against the French, that met them in their bent, the fatal balls of murdering basilisks. The venom of such looks we fairly hope have lost their quality, and that this day shall change all griefs and quarrels into love.
To cry amen to that, thus we appear.
You English princes all, I do salute you.
My duty to you both on equal love. Great kings of France and England, that I have labored with all my wits, my pains, and strong endeavors to bring your most imperial majesties unto this bar and royal interview. Your mightiness on both parts best can witness. Since then my office hath so far prevailed, that face to face and royal eye to eye you have congreeted. Let it not disgrace me, if I demand before this royal view, what rub, or what impediment there is, why that the naked, poor, and mangled peace, dear nurse of arts, plenties, and joyful births, should not in this best garden of the world, our fertile France, put up her lovely visage. Alas, she hath from France too long been chased, and all her husbandry doth lie on heaps, corrupting in its own fertility. Her vine, the merry cheerer of the heart, unpruned, dies. Her hedges, even pleached, like prisoners wildly overgrown with hair put forth disordered twigs. Her fallow lees, the darnel, hemlock, and rank fumitory doth root upon, while the coulter rusts that should deracinate such savagery. The even mead, that erst brought sweetly forth the freckled cowslip, burnet, and green clover, wanting the scythe, all uncorrected, rank, conceives by idleness, and nothing teems but hateful docks, rough thistles, kexies, burrs, losing both beauty and utility. And all her vineyards, fallows, meads, and hedges, defective in their natures, grow to wildness. Even so, our houses and ourselves and children have lost or do not learn for want of time the sciences that should become our country, but grow like savages, as soldiers will that nothing do but meditate on blood, to swearing and stern looks, diffused attires, and everything that seems unnatural, which to reduce into our former favor you are assembled. And my speech entreats that I may know the let, why gentle peace should not expel these inconveniences and bless us with her former qualities.
If, Duke of Burgundy, you would the peace whose want gives growth to the imperfections which you have cited, you must buy that peace with full accord to all our just demands, whose tenors and particular effects you have enscheduled briefly in your hands.
The king hath heard them, to the which, as yet, there is no answer made.
Well, then, the peace which you before so urged lies in his answer.
I have but with a cursory eye or glance the articles. Pleaseth your grace to appoint some of your council presently to sit with us once more, with better heed to resurvey them. We will suddenly pass our accept and peremptory answer.
Brother, we shall. Go, Uncle Exeter, and Brother Clarence, and you, Brother Gloucester. Warwick and Huntington, go with the king, and take with you free power to ratify, augment, or alter, as your wisdom's best shall see advantageable for our dignity, anything in or out of our demands, and we'll consign thereto. Will you, fair sister, go with the princes, or stay here with us?
Our gracious brother, I will go with them. Happily a woman's voice may do some good when articles too nicely urged be stood on.
Yet leave our cousin Catherine here with us. She is our capital demand, comprised within the fore rank of our articles.
She hath good leave.
Fair Catherine, and most fair, will you vouchsafe to teach a soldier terms, such as will enter at a lady's ear and plead his love suit to her gentle heart?
Your Majesty shall mock at me. I cannot speak your England.
No, fair Catherine, if you will love me soundly with your French heart, I will be glad to hear you confess it brokenly with your English tongue. Do you like me, Kate?
Pardon moi, I cannot tell what is like me.
An angel is like you, Kate, and you are like an angel.
Que dit-il? Que je suis semblable à les anges?
Vraiment, sauf votre grâce, ainsi dit-il.
I said so, dear Catherine, and I must not blush to affirm it.
Oh, bon Dieu, les langues des hommes sont pleines de tromperies.
What says she, fair one? That the tongues of men are full of deceits?
Oui, that the tongues of the manses be full of deceits, that is the princess.
The princess is the better Englishwoman. In faith, Kate, my wooing is fit for thy understanding. I am glad thou canst speak no better English, for if thou couldst, thou would find me such a plain king that thou wouldst think I had sold my farm to buy my crown. I know no ways to mince it in love, but directly to say I love you. Then if you urge me farther than to say, do you in faith, I wear out my suit. Give me your answer. In faith, do. And so clap hands on a bargain. How say you, lady?
So, votre honneur, me understand well.
Ah, Mary, if you would put me the verses or dances for your sake, Kate, why, you undid me. For the one, I have neither words nor measure, and for the other, I have no strength in measure. Yet I have a reasonable measure in strength. If I could win a lady at leapfrogging or by vaulting into the saddle with my armor on my back, under the correction of bragging be it spoken, I should quickly leap into a wife. Or if I might buffet for my love or bound my horse for her favors, I could lay on like a butcher and sit like a jackanapes, never off. But before God, Kate, I cannot look greenly nor gasp out my eloquence. Nor I have no cunning in protestation, only downright oaths, which I never use till urged, nor ever break for urging. If thou canst love a fellow of this temper, Kate, whose face is not worth sunburning, that never looks in the glass for love or anything he sees there, let thine eye be thy cook. I speak to thee, plain soldier. If thou canst love me for this, take me. If not, to say to thee that I shall die is true. But for thy love, by the Lord, no. Yet I love thee too. And while thou livest, dear Kate, take a fellow of plain and uncoined constancy, for he perforce must do thee right, because he hath not the gift to woo you in other places. For those fellows of infinite tongue that can rhyme themselves into ladies' favors, they do always reason themselves out again. What? A speaker is but a prater. A rhyme is but a ballad. A good leg will fall, A straight back will stoop. A black beard will turn white. A curled pate will grow bald. A fair face will wither. And a full eye will wax hollow. But a good heart, Kate, is the sun and the moon. Or rather the sun and not the moon. For it shines bright and never changes, but keeps his course truly. If thou wouldst have such a one, take me. And take me, take a soldier. Take a soldier, take a king. What sayest thou then to my love? Speak, my fair, and fairly, I pray thee.
Is it possible that I should love the enemy of France?
No, it is not possible you should love the enemy of France, Kate. But in loving me, you should love a friend of France. For I love France so well that I will not part with the village of it. I will have it mine, and Kate, when France is mine and I am yours, then yours is France and you are mine.
Oh, I cannot tell what is that.
Oh, no, Kate. I will tell thee in French, which I am sure will hang upon my tongue like a new married wife about her husband's neck, hardly shook off. Je compte sur la possession de France, et quand vous avez la possession de moi. Oh, let me see what then. Saint Denis be my speed. Donc votre et France et vous êtes miennes. It is as easy for me, Kate, to conquer the kingdom as to speak as much more French. I shall never more move thee in French than unless it is to laugh at me.
Oh, non, 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 sans votre honneur. Le français que vous parlez, il est meilleur que l'anglais lequel je parle.
No, faith, it isn't, Kate. But thy speaking of my tongue, and I thine most falsely truly, must needs be granted to be much as one. But, Kate, dost thou understand this much English? Canst thou love me?
I cannot tell.
Can any of your neighbors tell, Kate? I'll ask them. Come, I know thou lovest me. And at night, when you come into your closet, you'll question this gentlewoman about me. And I know, Kate, you will to her dispraise these parts of me that you love with your heart. But good, Kate, mock me mercifully. The rather, gentle princess, because I love thee cruelly. If ever thou beest mine, Kate, as I have a saving faith within me tells me thou shalt, I get thee with scambling, and thou must therefore needs prove a good soldier breeder. Shall not thou and I, between St. Denis and St. George, compound a boy, half French, half English, that shall go to Constantinople and take the Turk by the beard? Shall we not? What sayest thou, my Fleur de Lys?
I do not know that.
No, 'tis hereafter to know. But now to promise. Do but now promise, Kate. You will endeavor for your French part of such a boy. And for my English moiety, take the word of a king and a bachelor. How answer you? Le plus belle Catherine du monde, mon très cher et divin dies.
Oh, your majesty, have false French enough to deceive the most sage demoiselle that is en France.
Now fie upon my false French! By mine honor, in true English, I love thee, Kate. By which honor I dare not swear thou lovest me. Yet my blood begins to flatter me that thou dost, notwithstanding the poor and untempering effect of my visage. Now, beshrew my father's ambition. He was thinking of civil wars when he got me. Therefore was I created with a stubborn outside, with an aspect of iron, that when I come to woo ladies, I fright them. But in faith, Kate, the elder I wax, the better I shall appear. My comfort is that old age, that layer up of beauty, can do no more spoil upon my face. Thou hast me, if thou hast me at my worst. And thou shalt wear me, if thou wear me, better and better. And therefore tell me, most fair Catherine, will you have me? Put off your maiden blushes, avouch the thoughts of your heart with the looks of an empress. Take me by the hand and say, Harry of England, I am thine. Which word thou shalt so sooner bless mine ear withal. But I will tell thee aloud, England is thine, Ireland is thine, France is thine, and Harry Plantagenet is thine, who thou wast speak it before his face, if he be no fellow with the best king. Thou shalt find him the best king of good fellows. Come, your answer in broken English, for thy voice is music, and thy English broken. Therefore, queen of all, Catherine, break thy mind to me in broken English. Will thou have me?
That is it, s'il please, le roi. Mon père.
Nay, it will please him well, Kate. It shall please him, Kate.
Then it shall also content me.
Upon that I kiss your hand, and call you my queen.
Laissez, monseigneur, laissez, laissez. Ma foi, je ne veux point que vous aidez votre grandeur en baisant la main d'une votre... d'une de votre seigneurie indigné serviteur. Excusez-moi, je vous supplie, mon très puissant seigneur.
Then I will kiss your lips, Kate.
Les dames et les demoiselles pourraient être baissées devant leur nom. Je n'ai pas la coutume de France.
And madame, my interpreter, what says she?
That it is not be the fashion pour les ladies of France. I cannot tell that is basé in English.
To kiss.
Your majesty entend répéter pour moi.
It is not a fashion for the maids in France to kiss before they are married, would you say?
Oui, vraiment.
Oh, Kate. Nice customs curtsy to great kings. Dear Kate, you and I cannot be confined within the weak list of a country's fashion. We are the makers of manners, Kate. And the liberty that follows our places stops the mouth of all fine faults. As I will do yours for upholding the nice fashion of your country and denying me a kiss, therefore patiently and yielding. Oh, you have witchcraft in your lips, Kate. There is more eloquence in a sugar touch of them than in the tongues of the French council, and they should sooner persuade Harry of England than a general petition of monarchs.
Here comes your father.
God save your majesty. My royal cousin, teach you our princess English.
I would have her learn, my fair cousin, how perfectly I love her, and that is good English.
Is she not apt?
Our tongue is rough, cuz, and my condition is not smooth, so that, having neither the voice nor the heart of flattery about me, I cannot so conjure up the spirit of love in her that he will appear in his true likeness.
Pardon the frankness of my mirth, if I answer you for that. If you would conjure in her, you must make a circle. If conjure up love in her in his true likeness, he must appear naked and blind. Can you blame her then, being a maid, yet rosed over with the virgin crimson of modesty, if she deny the appearance of a naked blind boy in her naked seeing self? It were, my lord, a hard condition for a maid consigned to.
Yet they do wink and yield, as love is blind and enforces.
They are then excused, my lord, when they see not what they do.
Then good, my lord, teach your cousin to consent winking.
I will wink on her to consent, my lord, if you will teach her to know my meaning. For maids, well-summered and warm-kept, are like flies at Bartholomew-tide, blind, though they have their eyes, and then they will endure handling which before would not abide looking on.
This moral ties me over to time and hot summer, and so I shall catch the fly, your cousin, in the latter end, and she must be blind too.
As love is, my lord, before that it loves.
It is so, and you may, some of you, thank love for my blindness, who cannot see men. Many a fair French city, for one fair French maid that stands in my way.
Yes, my lord, you see them prospectively, the cities turned into a maid, for they are all girdled with maiden walls that war hath never entered.
Shall Kate be my wife?
So please you.
I am content, so the maiden cities you talk of may wait on her, so the maid that stood in the way for my wish shall show me the way to my will.
We have consented to all terms of reason.
Is it so, my lords of England?
The king hath granted every article, his daughter first, and then in sequel all according to their firm proposed natures.
Only he hath not yet subscribed to this, where your majesty demands that the king of France, having any occasion to write for matter of grant, shall name your highness in this form, and with this addition in French, Notre chef fils Henri, roi d'Angleterre, héritier de France, and thus in Latin, Placarissimus filius noster Henricus, rex Angliae et heirs Franciae.
Nor this I have not, brother, so denied, but your request shall make me let it pass.
I pray you then, in love and dear alliance, let that one article rank with the rest, and thereupon give me your daughter.
Take her, fair son, and from her blood raise up issue to me, that the contending kingdoms of France and England, whose very shores look pale with envy of each other's happiness, may cease their hatred, and this dear conjunction plant neighborhood and Christian-like accord in their sweet bosoms, that never war advance his bleeding sword twixt England and fair France.
Amen. Now, welcome, Kate, and bear me witness all that here I kiss her as my sovereign queen.
God, the best maker of all marriages, combine your hearts in one, our realms in one. As man and wife, being two, are one in love. So be there, twixt your kingdom, such a spousal that never may ill office or fell jealousy, which troubles off the bed of blessed marriage, thrust in between the paction of these kingdoms to make divorce of their incorporate league, that English may as French Englishmen receive each other. God speak this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Prepare we for our marriage, on which day, my lord of Burgundy, we'll take your oath, and all the peers, for surety of our leagues. Then shall I swear to Kate, and you to me, and may our oaths well kept and prosperous be.
Thus far, with rough and all unable pen, our bending author hath pursued the story, in little room confining mighty men, mangling by starts the full course of their glory. Small time, but in that small, most greatly lived, this star of England. Fortune made his sword, by which the world's best garden he achieved, and of it left his son imperial lord. Henry VI, in infant bands, crowned king of France and England, did this king succeed, whose state so many had the managing, that they lost France and made his England bleed, which oft our stage hath shown. And for their sake, in your fair minds, let this acceptance take.